We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell Podcast. I am your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. Quick reminder, we are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on YouTube under that name and then on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts under 30 Minutes of Hell. We really appreciate you guys tuning in to talk some Razorback hoops with us. This week has kind of been the epitome of the whole season wrapped up into the last 10 days or so, even dating all the way back to the Kentucky game where the Hogs came out hot. Well, first of all, before the Kentucky game, we had the weird news of Devo stepping away from the team, Brazil out with his injury. So things just kind of started weird there. But the Hogs came out hot against Kentucky and played very well, gave us a lot of hope. Even despite losing that game, they did a lot of things well. We thought maybe there was a turning point there. But for me specifically, I was just kind of concerned about them doing it against someone that wasn't an elite team, because we had seen it already against Purdue. We had seen it already against Duke. And so for them to do it again against Kentucky was fun and great, even though they lost, but I was worried about moving forward with it. Well, they came out and kicked ass on the road at Missouri. Thought, well, dang, maybe they found their rotation. Maybe they figured out a couple things and they're going to be competitive now. You know, they led big on the road. It ended up being not as big of a win by the final score as what the actual game was throughout the whole game. They led by a lot in that game, and things looked great against Missouri. And then they went on the road to LSU and almost got 30-pieced by one of the worst teams in the SEC. Back to square one. So that's just kind of how it's been all season. It's been incredibly frustrating, not just because they're a bad team, because I still don't think that they are. They're just an incredibly inconsistent team that still hasn't put it together consistently. We've seen it a couple times now, Missouri being a prime example of it, and then came right back out against LSU and just looked like they have all season. You know, I thought that maybe the condensed rotation may have forced their hand into being more consistent and being able to play through some mistakes, maybe addition by subtraction, even though Devo and Brazil did give us good things at times. I'm not saying that they just needed to be gone. Obviously, we still sucked against LSU without them, but I thought that maybe having that consistency within the rotation might have made something click, but obviously it didn't. Is there anything specifically from these games that really stood out to you guys, either good or bad? We can go Missouri or LSU, whichever direction you want to go. Joey, I'll start with you.
I mean, Brandon, it's night and day with this team. You said it, you know, we're either really good or we're really bad. There really hasn't been much of an in between. Even in some of our losses, like, we've still been pretty good. Like you mentioned Kentucky, and it's just the inconsistency is going to be the word of the day. I'm sure you'll hear me say it more than once in this episode. There were some major things that I loved in the Mizzou game. I love Jalen Graham. I thought that he took a major turn in that game. And then he wasn't horrible against LSU, but he wasn't what we saw against Mizzou. But I really liked Graham's defensive rotation. I liked his defensive IQ. He seemed like he had his full head in the game against Mizzou. And it's really we haven't seen a ton of that, the rest of the year. He had a really great showing. I think he had, was it four steals, three blocks, or vice versa? He played a really, really good game. And then we get to LSU and the team forgets how to play basketball. So it's been the trend all season. We'll have a good game, we'll think the ship's being righted, and then we crumble at the helm. So I mean, it's a broken record at this point. Our listeners know what we're gonna say. The fans of the Hogs know what's gonna happen day after day. It's just they don't know if they're gonna get the really good version or the really bad version. They know they're getting one of them. It's just we wonder what.
Yeah, it night and day, no doubt about it. And I even with the Missouri game, I of course enjoyed watching it for the most part, but it was similar to that Texas A&M game where we should have just pulled away and just ran with it. And I get they were having fun and probably got it did get lackadaisical on both ends of the court, but even then, you just even when we were winning, you're just like, man, that still is concerning. And of course, they showed that all of that hard work against Kentucky and Missouri just left them as they go to LSU and get their butts kicked. And there's, like I said, there's nothing you can do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say other than just come out and play hard every single game, no matter who it is. Don't go in thinking you're going to cakewalk a team just because they're listed as one of the worst in the SEC because you guys are too. We are. And and there's not much you can do, not much you can say. Can you coach this? Can you do something on the coaching end to even change this? Not really. It's just how these guys are wanting to play and when they're wanting to do it. There may be some locker room stuff going on, of course, that we just do not know about as far as with Muss and with the players, but what's going on? We want to know. The fans want to know. We just want a good team. That's all we want.
Yeah, it is a
At
good
least a
point that
team
you.
that gives effort.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good point that you made too about Missouri kind of giving up a lot. I'm doing my math right here. I believe they gave up 56 points in the second half of that game, including 16 points in the final minute and 45 seconds.
That's
So
insane.
just yeah,
That's T-Mac numbers.
even with a good game, it is, yeah, it was still a bit concerning to see it slip away. And I mean, it's just that's how it's been all season. I do agree with Joey though about Jalen Graham. It's been a very good a welcome sight to see him kind of coming into his own. And I think a lot of that is him kind of having to play more with Brazil being out. We're seeing a lot of the two big lineups where he is sharing the court with either Lawson or Mekhi a lot. And he's really thrived in it. He scored 13 and 18 points in each of his last two games on efficient scoring, the way he always does. And I don't think he's even been bad from the free throw line either these last couple of games. Let me see, I just had that pulled up. Yeah, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Not great. Way better than his career average though. So
True, true that.
he hasn't been hurting us from there, and still shooting efficiently from the field. So it's good to see him kind of coming into his own a little bit more and stepping into that scoring role we kind of hoped that he would have. So, if maybe they can figure out how to be competitive in some games, it'll be nice to see him contribute in that way. We've been waiting to see it. And another thing that I think that has been nice to see, again, kind of by forced hand with a lack of players, lack of options, but we've seen a lot more of Layden Blocker the last couple games. And we've been asking for that a lot. And he's not just been lighting up the stat sheet, not been scoring a ton of points, but God, he's fun to watch, man. He's one of the best, not and I'll preface this with one of the best freshman defenders that I watched, but truthfully, he's just one of the best, most fundamentally sound defenders in college basketball.
Agreed.
And sometimes he gambles. And I think a lot of that, though, is Muss telling them that we foul too much and don't get enough steals and we need more transition points. And when that kind of stuff is in your head, you're going to kind of take those gambles a little bit. When he stays in front of his guy and just plays sound defense, it's fun to watch. There's not a lot of guys that I think that are just fun to watch on the defensive side of the ball, but he is definitely one of them.
He's very reactive. He moves his feet well. He predicts where his opponent's going. I completely agree, Brandon. He's fun to watch because he does those little things right. You know, he's so quick and able to do that. And I agree, especially as a freshman. Oh my God, the sky's the limit for him on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Arkansas now has their mid-season, mid-conference break, however you want to phrase it. They don't play for a week after this, after their loss on Saturday. They go a full week before their next game next Saturday against Georgia. And we're also going to take a quick break for some ads, and then we'll be right back with a little preview of Georgia and maybe some talk about what the Hogs can do moving forward to maybe salvage a little bit more of this season. But we'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So Arkansas really has too many problems to count, but we talked about consistency being the biggest one. Because a lot of the problems you can point to are not problems 100% of the time. You know, we've seen them do almost everything good at some point during the season. It's just never been consistent. Some things are rarely have rarely been good, like some of our defensive effort and defensive positioning. There's some things that we just haven't been a good team at all season, but we've seen them be capable of doing it. But yeah, I mean, like we were talking about, consistency is really the problem that has really plagued them so much. But aside from that, do you guys think that there's any one thing that we can point to that, and I know that you can't just flip a switch and it's fixed, but is there any one thing that you can point to that if the Hogs can figure this one thing out or make this tweak or just get a little better at this one thing, that it can make them just more competitive and stop having these 20-point blowout losses and just being a little bit more of a competitive team for the rest of the season? Matt, I'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, I don't like, there's not really one thing that you can just, I guess, pinpoint. You can pick whatever you want, and I'm sure we can work on it and get better at it. But I feel like these guys aren't sticking to a game plan. I don't know if the coaches even have a game plan, it seems like. But I feel like if we could just stick together for one or two games and just get it figured out that way, we can at least avoid getting blown out. Because I feel one thing happens, it doesn't go exactly as planned, and then it's down the road. And like, it's just downhill from there, right? And I feel like if we can just stick to a game plan and have things just flow like we saw in against Missouri, against Kentucky, and just don't try to change certain things so quick and so immediate because we're panicking. We gave up 6 points or whatever, and just stick to the game plan and don't sub people out for reasons that we don't see why, and just let these guys play together and mesh together because we don't got many of them. We don't have too many more guys. We have two out right now, and probably one of them not coming back for sure. And the other one, we don't know if the injury is that bad. But let these guys play. Let these guys work together, gel together. Trust them as a coach, and the players need to trust the coach and the game plan. That's what I want to see. Trust, chemistry. That's the one thing I think we can really change to avoid getting our butts kicked.
Yeah, and kind of on a similar note, Matt, communication is mine. We don't have any communication on the defensive side of the ball. We don't have any communication on the offensive side of the ball. It's just a cluster blank, you know?
That's right.
It's so bad. And I think that if we can nail that down and at least have some sort of communication, whether that be calling out screens, calling out where the open guy is on, like if we get mismatches, like I saw it multiple times against LSU where we would have someone like Pinion run out to a shooter and leave his guy uncovered, but it wasn't communicated on the back end, so we were late rotating all the way around the perimeter. And I mean, that's just one instance, obviously, but it's been terrible the entire season. I think if we can peg down, you know, how we communicate and how we rotate on the defense side of the ball, where I don't even have words for it. I'm at a loss for it. But you guys get what I'm saying, with the communication. It's too late to worry about, you know, what can be fixed or getting better. I know that's tough to hear and it sucks to say it, but I mean, after every game, Mus is like, you know, we've got to get better in these things. We've got to get better in these things. It's February. We don't we have how many games do we have left, Brandon?
Nine.
Nine games. I mean, we can go on a 9-game winning streak. It's not going to mean much, you know? Who's to say it that 9 games, it's based on if other teams lose. So it's one of those things where we'd love to see them win 9 in a row for our mental health and our sanity, but if it happens or not, you know.
Yeah, my point was actually going to be very similar to what Matt brought up. Mine was actually going to be a little bit geared more towards the consistent minutes for the players, and that's not something that needs to like now change. I think that we kind of saw that change happen in the Kentucky game. I don't know what the hell happened against LSU, but I think that the consistent minutes and understanding your role when you come in and having the ability to play a little bit more freely without feeling like you're going to get taken out for a mistake or something like that. I think that that consistency can help, just like, you're right, it's too late to really fix a lot of things, but help to make them more competitive and help them be able to experience getting punched and weathering the runs of another team and being able to not, make a 6-0 run turn into a 20-3 run. You know what I mean? And so that's the thing that I think has really been killing us a lot too, is that Matt said it almost exactly how I was going to say it, that just letting the ball keep rolling away and getting away from us whenever things start to go wrong in the beginning. I feel like the guys aren't experienced enough and aren't prepared to handle those punches and then throw one back and go on a run of their own. Because basketball is always a game of runs, and a team is always going to go on a 6-0, 8-0, whatever kind of run. You've just got to put one together yourself. And the Hogs
Yeah,
haven't been doing that.
and that's coaching. There's, you know, there's nothing our players can do about it. I've seen it personally. You know, I don't want to say that Musk gets flustered. He's been a coach for a very long time, but it seems like when he sees the game getting out of hand, he rips guys out and puts in, you know, a different lineup. And like you said, Brandon doesn't give guys a chance to react to the gut punches. And I don't want to say that Musk gets flustered. It sounds silly to even say something like that. But we see when the game is getting away from the team, that's when he starts putting in these weird lineups and getting angry at guys. And which he's a coach, he's gonna get angry at players. But I mean, we were texting about it whenever it happened with Mitchell when he was leading Minifield down the court with the pass and threw the ball away, and Mus yanked him out, gave him an earful, and you know, it doesn't give him a chance to redeem himself off something like that, which wasn't really his fault to begin with.
Yeah, and Mus said actually, in the post game too, I think that the pass exemplified it and heightened the tension there. But he talked a little bit about in the post game. Someone asked him about the altercation between the two of them, and he just said something like, "I think Mekhi is trying to do the right thing, and I think he's trying to play the right defense and those kind of things." And I understand in the heat of the moment, I'm not super mad at a coach and a player going head to head. I feel like that's not super uncommon anymore. To me, that means they still care if they're still fired up like that on the sideline.
Right.
But maybe could have been handled a little better. Maybe could have maybe not pulled him out. I don't know, but it was a weird situation. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, and I was just going back to the same word, inconsistency, because that's the theme. It's inconsistency, not in just, I know we've talked about the players a lot and how their effort is, but it's the entire program. We're just inconsistent this year. There's no rhythm. There's no routine. It is just all over the place. It's just scattered. And we fix that. We stay consistent and we'll be able to pull out some games. It'll look like we play basketball.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking for at this point.
Right.
A little effort, a little competitiveness, no more 20-point losses, that kind of thing.
Yes.
But so the Hogs' next chance to do that will be against Georgia. This will be the first time this season they'll have a repeat game, face a team they've already played. Georgia was the second SEC team Arkansas played, and they lost by 10 points. But this time around, Arkansas is a very different looking team, mainly from a personnel standpoint. I mean, we still see a lot of the inconsistencies that we're talking about, but no Trevin Brazil, who played 33 minutes the first time around. No Devo Davis, played 32 minutes the last time around. And we're assuming no Trevin Brazil. We don't know if this week might be enough time for him to rehab his knee and return, but until further notice, we don't know if he's going to be back, when he's going to be back. So safe to assume for now that he might not be. We've seen a lot of good things out of the two big lineups. So, and speaking of that, Jalen Graham, Chandler Lawson, and throwing Layden Blocker into that mix combined for less than 15 total minutes between the three of them the first time around.
Crazy.
And I can tell you that's not going to happen regardless of if Brazil is back or not. Blocker has definitely solidified himself into more of a role. Lawson has really become more prominent and more consistent in having that and soaking up center minutes. And I think Graham has kind of proven that it's hard to take him off the court, regardless of who else is available. He's shown the improvement on defense. He's still a little bit inconsistent as a rebounder, but if you can surround him with other good rebounders, including playing him beside Chandler Lawson and Mekhi Mitchell, who have both been doing very well at rebounding the ball lately, if he can play with those guys and let his offense flourish, then keep doing it. You know, that's been one of the more consistent things we've seen on a team whose theme of the season is inconsistency. So, and one thing I wanted to point out headed into this Georgia game is Jabri Abdur-Rahim was held very much in check the last time these teams met. He's was Georgia's leading scorer and was held to only 1 of 8 shooting, 1 of 6 from downtown. It was a timely three late in the game. Arkansas was making a push, and that three was kind of a dagger. But if I remember correctly, Devo Davis played a big part in keeping him in check, playing him off ball and sticking with him defensively. And I think Tremont Mark is capable of doing that and, you know, pretty much accomplishing a similar goal. But it'll be interesting to see what he does this time around against the Hogs. You know, it's probably in the back of his mind that he did not have a very good game the first time around, that Devo Davis is not on the other side of the ball. So it'll definitely be interesting to watch and see how he comes out and how he performs in this game.
And
but
Brandon, to be fair, the last few games that he's had haven't been great showings either. I mean, their last game that they lost, he had a decent outing, but he scored less than 10 in the two losses before that. So he's probably in about time for a big game from him.
So he's going to score 47 against
exactly.
us. Is that what you said?
That's what okay. I'm saying.
Guaranteed.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so what are you guys looking for from this game? We've been talking about changes and things like that, but, you know, this game specifically, anything from Georgia that you're seeing or that stood out for you in the last matchup between these two teams?
Yeah, Brandon, you took the words right out of my mouth talking about how different we look from the last time we played them. Graham's taken a huge step forward in our rotation and his play. I've seen some great things from him defensively. He's always been a terrific offensive player, but he's playing a little smarter, making some better passes. So I'm interested to see how he matches up against this Georgia team. They saw less than 30 seconds of Blocker, I'm interested to see if we get, you know, 20 plus minutes from Blocker this game and how he does against a lineup like Georgia. Georgia's also kind of playing a little bit different since we last saw them. They're kind of running a four guard lineup with a center. Given their guards are very big, I think Abdur-Rahim is 6'8". They've got another 6'7" guy that's listed as a guard. But It'll be interesting to see because I mean we're basically an entirely new team without if Brazil doesn't play and Devo not playing. So definitely a little I don't want to come out and say, you know, we're gonna win this game or we're gonna lose this game because I mean these are two different teams that we're seeing. But I mentioned that Georgia's kind of been on a losing streak lately. They've lost their last three games and out of their five losses in SEC play, they're four and sitting at 4-5 right now. So I think that they're kind of hungry for an easy win. I don't think that teams really fear Arkansas right now, regardless of, you know, what we've done against, you know, Missouri's one of the bottom teams in the SEC right now. So I just don't think that teams are really scared of us. They chalk it up as a win. So maybe we can capitalize on that aspect of things and really like come and punch them in the mouth early and get them on the ropes. But one thing that I really want to focus on is ball security. I think we gave up 25 points off turnovers last game with 15 turnovers. So definitely want to tighten things up. Obviously, Arkansas is not the best at ball security. I think we average about 12 and a half turnovers per game. Not great, but hopefully we can hold it to about 10 or less this game to even things out. But definitely want to watch that this time around.
Yeah, this game's a matter of who has the best hand left over from the first game. And I think having Blocker, Lawson, and Graham go in, play some good minutes, solid minutes, is going to at least give the Georgia team a little bit of a shock. Like, oh, we didn't really prepare for these guys, which, I mean, they've seen the same games we have, so I'm sure they're getting ready for it. But hopefully those three come out with a little bit more aggressiveness than they are expecting, especially Blocker. I think he's going to play a huge role on defense, as he always does. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take one more quick break, and then we're going to come back with a little bit of talk about the end of the season. It kind of sucks that we're having to talk about this already with 9 games left, but it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a postseason for Arkansas. So we're going to turn our attention towards where they go from here and how they don't ha let this happen again next year. But we'll be right back after another quick break. All right. Arkansas has had a hell of a season in the worst way. And like I said, it sucks to talk about it this early, but let's go ahead and look ahead to a little bit of this offseason. And we'll start with kind of the most pressing thing that's been out on Twitter, rumors flying off the walls. And there's nothing concrete enough about this to really give a ton of energy to it. But rumors about Musselman looking for other jobs, about him potentially not being here next year. And I don't think that any of those are leaning towards him being fired. I think that he's earned much more of a cushion than that, than being fired after a year like this. But there's rumors flying that he might be looking elsewhere for his own benefit. And again, anything can happen. Maybe he is looking, maybe it's just looking to benefit his next raise. Maybe all of it's not true and he'll still be here. We don't know. But in the chance that he's not here next season and this offseason when we have to go through a coaching search, I just wanted to throw out a couple names that would be definitely at the top of my list that I think Arkansas could realistically grab and keep them in a good position to keep contending, because they are still in a good position as a program, even with not the best regular season record over the last 2 years now. But I think the right coach, the right transfer class could very quickly turn that around. It's not like the football program where it's going to take an overhaul and a lot of time to get back to that point. So the first name on my list is actually maybe a controversial one, but Chris Beard from Ole Miss, also coached at Euler for a while, or for a year, and took them to the second round of the NCAA tournament. And so he's got ties to Arkansas, and I think that he can really just coach, man. He's a good basketball coach, and I
He's
think
a good
that
coach.
regardless of whatever hot water he's been in the past, doesn't seem to matter to Ole Miss or to people now. So in terms of just basketball coach, I'd be pretty thrilled to have him. And then another guy that actually coached at Euler is Porter Moser, the Oklahoma head coach. Don't know if he would really consider leaving Oklahoma to come to Arkansas, but you never know. Again, maybe ties to the state. And then the last guy, the name I just wanted to throw out there, Jerome Tang from Kansas State, took them to the Elite Eight in 2023. Has gone 40-18 over 2 years so far coaching at Kansas State. Could be a pretty good addition if, you know, a pretty good step in if Muss were to leave. But again, we don't know. Anything could happen. I'm not advocating for Muss to leave. I think he's still among the upper echelon of coaches in college basketball. it always scares me going somewhere else when we know we already have a pretty good coach as it is. So again, you never know. But if the rumors happen to be true, those would be kind of the names at the top of my list. But beyond that, something that we know will happen is a bunch of new players on the roster next year. Mm-hmm. Why do we know that? Because six different players are going to be entirely out of eligibility. That is not including Devo Davis, who is more than likely not returning. Whether he returns or not this year, I would be shocked if he came back next year. Yeah. And then that also doesn't include Trevin Brazil or Tremon Mark, who both still could go test their value in the NBA or overseas in a pro league, in the pro route. Brazil has probably hurt his stock a little bit this year, but if he doesn't come back and protects his knee, I could still see an NBA team taking a swing on him, you know, late in the second round, just off of his sheer athleticism, his potential. So you're looking at six seniors, Devo, Brazil, and potentially Mark that are all gone. That's nine guys already. All right. And then you bake in maybe two or three transfer portal entries. If Must stays, that's pretty common for guys to hit the transfer portal. If you get a new coach, very common for guys to hit the transfer portal. So we're talking about anywhere between 9 and 12 guys that are going to be new next year. Mm-hmm. And we've already got two freshmen signed. And so that takes up two spots. So, I mean, let's just round it up to an even probably like 9 or 10 guys that we're going to be looking at next year. Most of them probably coming from the transfer portal. What do you guys want out of the portal this year to avoid whatever the hell happened this year? Right. Matt, I'll start with you. What kind of player are you looking for out of the portal?
Yeah, I'm wanting Muss to go back, if Muss is here. I want him to go back to his bread and butter and get some defensive guys, you know, some dogs. And that would mean Leighton Blocker would be a prime part of his whole rotation. And I want some defensive wings. I want guys that can hit some spot up threes, you know, just really aggressive. I want some dogs. That's it. And of course I can beg and plead for a amazing center, true center. But of course those are few and far between in college basketball right now. The specimens are getting picked up in the G League and, you know, overseas and things like that. But there are still some guys out there, and Muss has the connections, and hopefully we can get back to that bread and butter. That's what I really want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I want some diversity in our roster. Similar to what Matt was saying, you know, defense is the key. It's always been the key for Musselman. I want to see a true point guard. I don't care if he, you know, scores 8 to 10 points a game. I want him to average, you know, 5 assists a game. I want a true point guard that can run an offense. As Matt also said, I would love a center. I would love, you know, a 6'10 guy that can, you know, grab us 8-9 rebounds a game. Brazil was supposed to be that guy. We haven't seen it this year, but want a good center. And I definitely want some super athletic wings. I want someone who can get the ball, get to a spot. I want a guy like Mark. I would love to have another Mark in a true system. But definitely want to focus on diversifying our lineup. We've seen it, you know, in the past 5 years. We see a hole each year, and then we go and we fill that hole with nothing but the thing that we're missing. So I want to see, you know, we're missing so much this year. I want to see us, you know, hit all of our holes.
Yeah, and to me, one of the biggest things that we're missing this year is just that versatile forward. And Mark is close to it, that 6'6", 6'7", type forward that can score and play defense. But I'm talking, I want a guy like Stanley Amude and Audis Tony and Moses Moody, Jordan Walsh. All these guys that we've had for the last 3-4 years, we don't have that guy on this roster. We don't have that 6'8", just beast that doesn't need the ball in his hands to make a play, that can spot up on the perimeter, can crash the offensive glass, take a charge, block a shot, whatever. I mean, you know, we kind of hope that Brazil would be that a version of that at 6'10". Like you said, we haven't seen it. But I want some of these athletic dudes on the wing that can play the 3 and the 4, that can switch and guard all over the court, that can do the dirty work, can get rebounds, can score without needing to have a play run for them. Like Audis Tony is the perfect example of that. He was so good at crashing the glass, so good at backdoor cuts, just kind of being where he needed to be. Mm-hmm. Even though he wasn't an elite scorer, he was an athlete that defended so well, was a great size, and just did the little things that we needed. And we've had one or two of those guys on every roster up until this year. And I think that is a huge reason why we've seen a lot of struggles and inconsistencies with this team. So that's really what I want to see us focus on in next year. And of course, Joey's absolutely right. Diversifying with a good guard play, a good point guard, be awesome to get a good center out of the portal. But I just feel like things fall apart if you don't have that glue. You know, you got to have that guy that ties it together. So that's really what I'm looking for. But that's all we've got for you guys today. Again, always appreciate you guys tuning in to listen to some Razorback basketball talk. We're brought to you, like I said earlier, by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us there on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts under 30 Minutes of Hell. I've been your host, Brandon Baker, joined by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. And as always, go Hogs.
Thanks, y'all.
Woo pig.